hold up.
Next case is Spectrum Pharmaceuticals v. Sandoz, 2015-14-07. Mr. Israelowitz.
May it please the Court. Two grounds for obviousness are presented on appeal, each of which violate a fundamental principle of patent.
Let me ask you sort of a housekeeping kind of question first. At several points in both in the principle and reply brief, you claim some facts are undisputed. And one of them is the undisputed evidence showed no prior art method enabled the purification of the prior art 50-50 combination to yield a mixture enhanced in the 6S isomer. No evidence that anyone ever succeeded using Kasilich's method. The problem I have with that is you say these are undisputed facts, and yet in the record, the district court discusses testimony by various experts and says Martin, Seckling, and Moran all testified they believed Kasilich did that, and there's no evidence that that didn't happen, and the journal article was never withdrawn. So how is that undisputed? I mean, I can see you could argue, you know, that it was misinterpreted or some such, but it's clearly not undisputed.
No, the question is one of enablement, and whether Kasilich herself got it once is distinct from whether she contributed a method to the art that others could repeat, which is ultimately what's required for an enabling disclosure of a method to purify the 50-50 mixture of isomers. She might have gotten it. And again, that was a rather irrelevant issue to the trial as far as we were concerned, because the question is, in 1986, did she contribute an operable method to purify the isomers? If she did, we would fall dangerously close.
But all these people said they believed that she did.
They believed she might have gotten the right product. Indeed. They don't believe, nobody testified that indeed it works for anybody else.
If she got the right product, the S isomer, the pure S isomer was known, right?
Having been made via an enzymatic process.
One method or another. It was known, the S pure S isomer.
It had been made by an enzymatic process.
It was known.
Separate from process, indeed.
Maybe it wasn't a terrific method, but the method, the better method, a better method is not claimed here. This is a composition claim, right?
Indeed.
Not a method claim.
We don't claim what we, these inventors claim what they were the first to enable, what a number of groups were trying to enable. That is, the ability to make in a commercial scale, in a practical way, what is a mixture of isomers. We claim a mixture of isomers for the very purpose that when you start with a mixture, as Kasilich tried to, you always end up with a mixture.
The question is, if the pure isomer is known, is a somewhat less pure isomer not obvious?
Indeed. If we are grounding our... Indeed,
what's,
it's not.
What's so good about a somewhat less pure isomer? Does it have advantages over the pure isomer?
It does not have a clinical advantage over the pure isomer. Indeed, if Sandoz or any other generic company wanted to use 100% pure, they're more than welcome to. Okay? But indeed, it's a not obvious... If we have to ground ourselves in the prior art as obviousness, in obviousness we always must. If the prior art is an enzymatically prepared, 100% pure...
You keep talking about the method of preparation, though, but this is not a method claim, it's a composition claim. So what does it matter whether the prior art showed one way or another? As long as there is known in the art a pure form, why isn't every other form known as well, because it certainly, you can go from the pure form all the way back down through the non-pure forms.
Because the only reason you would have to do that is a hindsight reconstruction of this invention, and that is the problem.
But the invention is a particular composition. It's not a method for getting there.
We still need a... If we're going to focus on what the 100% pure in the prior art, you still need a logical reason, don't we, after KSR, to modify that.
Isn't this a claim to a substantially pure material?
Indeed.
95%, 92%?
Indeed it is. And so what logical reason existed to modify what I would say contaminate what was already 100% with the undesirable, known to be potentially deleterious impurity? There is none. If no logical reason...
That's a very strange argument. We've had arguments for years. You know them all. You know all the cases. When you have a mixture to get to the pure compound may be non-obvious, but to go backwards?
We still are grounded in the prior art here, and we still have to find a reason to modify. It's a non-obvious alteration. We all agree it's a non-obvious alteration of the prior art. There's no reason why you would do it but for the invention, but for to invalidate this claim. We all agree there's a motivation to purify the 50-50 mixture. There's no enabling process to do it until the invention.
But you didn't patent the process.
We did patent the process.
Right, but that's not the patent we're arguing about here today. So I understand, and I may be repeating my colleague's point, that if there's this mixture out there and nobody has discovered a pure form and you patent the pure form, then that may be patentable as a composition claim. But when the pure form is already prior art, and you're not saying that some mixture of pure and non-pure has advantages over the pure, then how is not the 100% pure render anything below that obvious without resorting to language of how you do it?
I think your honors are referring to the analysis akin to titanium metals. If it's sort of close enough, it's obvious. But even in titanium metals, the understanding was that the optimization around endpoints in titanium metals was an appropriate motivation to modify.
What you're saying is what makes no sense, in other words, going to a less pure material, what makes no sense is non-obvious.
And maybe
you're right.
And indeed, they can use 100% pure. We are not articulating, we're not trying to block others from using the prior art. They're more than happy to allow that. But that's not what they're choosing to do, because the more practical way to get the material is still the preferred way to get the material. And the first to enable the mixture is
that's
able
the preferred
to,
method.
The first to enable the claim compound is entitled to claim the compound itself, because under Henry Hoekstra, okay. the compound isn't in the prior art. The mixture isn't in the prior art.
The court found that you were arguing that there was no evidence that Kasulich obtained highly pure 6S leucovorin. And in fact, I'm going to read from Drs. Martin, Seckling, and Morant all testified they believed Dr. Kasulich did so, and the court accepted that testimony as true.
And that does not make Kasulich enabling. Indeed, four groups tried, including the inventors during the prosecution of this patent, proved. They tried to repeat Kasulich and proved it doesn't work. Even American Cyanamid admitted, the owner of the Kasulich patent admitted it's not an A, it didn't work. All right, and that's in evidence that's at A4246.
So the court is in error in its summation of the testimony that they believe, the doctors believe that it was done.
No, Your Honor, they were not an error to conclude that Kasulich described having done it. Indeed, that's what Kasulich described.
And that they believed, indeed, it had been done.
Indeed, they believed the data was consistent with what Kasulich says she got. But there's no doubt that the district court did not reach the issue of whether Kasulich was enabling. She said as much when she said, I do not rely on Kasulich as an enabling process. What I rely on, what's enabling, is the idea that you can contaminate the 100% material, a completely non-obvious thing to do. So I'm sensitive to Your Honor's concern that we're withdrawing something in the prior art that was already in the prior art. But again, if somebody wants to use the 100% material, then we're more than happy to permit that. Our claims do not cover that.
Isn't it likely that when one is on the way to obtaining a pure product, one goes through a less pure product?
I'm glad Your Honor asked that question. I think there was some element of confusion in the district court and perhaps in the briefing, because the enzymatic process does not at all ever make a mixture. It never starts with a mixture. It completely goes around the idea of making a mixture and synthetically only makes one. It was going to be a trial issue. Sandoz dropped the issue whether this enzymatic process inherently made some of a mixture. They dropped that before trial, instead admitting that it's 100% pure. So no, the enzymatic processes only make 100%. That's admitted by Sandoz. So the question before this court is whether a logical reason is still required to modify the prior art. And indeed, that's the only way you can find these claims are obvious over the 100%, small amount of 100% material, which nobody wants to use, is to conclude that, well, it just doesn't matter, that there's no reason to contaminate it.
So we issue patents these days on products less desirable than the prior art.
I think we're operating in a fictional world that this enzymatic process actually solved any sort of need to produce a pharmaceutical product. The reality was, and I can give you a cite to our expert, there wasn't enough enzyme to even make 10 grams of this material. The solution to the problem that was contributed by the inventors was a significant one.
The solution to the problem was the process, which isn't claimed.
Which enabled the claimed composition, which is the key. And under In re Hoeksema and later case law, that entitles Spectrum to claim the composition that they've enabled.
We'll save the rest of your time for rebuttal if you like. Or continue. It's your time.
I think I will. Thank you.
Ms. Maynard.
May it please the Court, Deanne Maynard for Defendant Sandoz. The District Court made extensive factual findings here, none of which are challenged on appeal, that require its conclusion of obviousness. Specifically, the District Court found that it was well known, in fact, that the evidence was replete in the record, that the 6S isomer was the one that had all of the therapeutic benefits. The District Court found that the isomer had been both purified from the 50-50 mixture to a highly pure form by Dr. Kasumi.
Doesn't opposing counsel have an argument, a reasonable argument, that if you have a pure product, who would contaminate it? Isn't that non-obvious? Isn't that what they're claiming?
That is a fair summation of what he's saying, Your Honor, but I think there's one problem with that is it is relevant that there was this way to make it in the art, because that takes them out of the Hoeksema world where you're just talking about theoretical compound. There was a known way to make it here. That would have been easy, as the District Court found. But more importantly, under titanium metals, there's no patentable difference between the 100% pure and the 92% to 99.99% claimed in these claims. And the District Court made findings that require that. The District Court found that there is no meaningful difference between the compound in the claim and the 100% pure. The District Court found, and their witness, Dr. Ryder, testified that the body would not know the difference between a 90% plus and a 100% pure. So absent anything else, there's nothing patentable, and it is obvious. All we're talking about here is compound. If they had a better way to scale it up, they had a method patent, the method patent expired, that's not being asserted here. The District Court found, in fact, that the enzymatic process, which is the process that makes 100% pure, and the District Court found, in fact, that the 100% pure, the enzymatic process, actually had only 95% success. The other impurities, and Sandoz did not concede, but Sandoz did not try to prove at trial that the other impurities might or might not contain some 6R. But in any event, the important point is the District Court found there's no meaningful difference to the body between the compound that's claimed here and the compound in the prior art. That makes it obvious under titanium metals. It's also obvious under Aventis, because this was the factual, everyone knew that 6S was the active isomer. Dr. Kasulich, in fact, separated it in 1952, finding a fact 94, she obtained highly pure 6S. Their witnesses didn't dispute that. They did try to show...
They could not replicate it.
They put in proof that several people could not replicate it. They sought a finding of fact from the district court that Dr. Kasulich's patent was not enabled. That's their requested finding of fact 38. The district court did not make that finding. The district court instead found that Dr. Kasulich had in fact succeeded. The district court also found, and the patent specification here concedes in column 2, that prior art methods had succeeded in separating the 50-50 mixture, both by fractional crystallization, which is the method Dr. Kasulich used, and by chromatography. The specification also concedes that the prior art had succeeded in making enzymatically 100% pure S. The district court relied on all of this information to conclude that a person of skill in the art would have had reasonable success in separating the isomers one way or the other. And that under Aventis, that's a stronger case than obviousness under Aventis. Because here we had an explicit teaching in the art that the 6S, it was known, as Judge Lurie pointed out, that the 6S was the active isomer. It had in fact been separated. Someone had already in fact created substantially pure 6S. The question for obviousness is not whether the Kasulich patent is itself enabled, although of course it's presumed enabled and the district court didn't find that they proved it wasn't. The question is whether all of the art, including those that the district court found, would suggest that a person of skill in the art would have success at arriving at the invention. And the facts here establish that in spades. Indeed, the district court found that the motivation, a strong motivation developed in the mid-1980s to separate these isomers because of a new treatment that had begun in the early 1980s, the 5-FU treatment. They used much more leucovorin, and there was a research hypothesis that the 6R might inhibit the effectiveness of the leucovorin. The district court further found that multiple groups responded to the strong motivation to separate the isomers, and that in short time, many succeeded.
But if the pure material is known, what's the motivation to contaminate it, to make it impure, which is what the claims cover?
Well, we don't have to show that motivation, Judge Lurie, as the district court correctly found. The fact that the 92 to 99.99% is insubstantially different, biologically equivalent to the body, to the 100% pure, is alone enough. That's why no one would do it, because you're just adding impurities to it. But that doesn't make it patentable. In fact, that just under titanium metals, that makes it obvious.
If no one would do it, isn't it non-obvious?
No, Your Honor, not under the law. Now, to be sure, if they might have been able to show some unexpected properties or other secondary considerations,
if the 92 to 95% mixture worked better because it had some R in it than the 100%, then that might be patentable.
That would be a much tougher case. But in fact, we have the opposite here. Their witness conceded there was no benefit to the, and he conceded here. And the district court found, which is the most important thing. The district court made a finding of fact. There was no meaningful difference between the compound claimed and the 100% pure. If the court would like, I would address the, if you have questions about the non-infringement arguments, I would like to address that. If not, however, I'll...
I don't. Apparently not, Ms. Maynard. Mr. Israelowitz has a little under 4 minutes for rebuttal.
As Judge Lurie, as you pointed out, it's a completely non-obvious thing to do, and I almost need say no more, because if KSR still requires a motivation to modify the art, again, we always have to start with the prior art. Kauslitz must be enabling. It would be on all fours with Aventis if Kauslitz was enabling. Aventis is quite distinct. There were two different prior references that said, here's the way to do it, and you can purify the 50-50 mixture. There was an enabling art to get to where you needed to go in Aventis. That's why we spent so much time at trial showing that Kauslitz was not enabling. not that Kauselich got the data, an optical rotation that was appropriate, that she didn't contribute a method to purify the isomers to one of ordinary skill in the art. One of ordinary skill in the art in 1986 couldn't make this composition but for the invention. Now, could they adulterate the little bit of 100% that was in the prior art? Yeah, I think they probably could have taken a medicine dropper and have done that, but why would they do that? We're not required to show unexpected results. They're required to show a motivation to modify the art. Ultimately, the burden rests with them to show, by clear and convincing evidence, that there was a motivation. Counsel, my friend, was up here saying, we don't need to show that. Indeed, you always need to show a motivation to modify the prior art. If the prior art starting place is the 50-50 mixture, we have motive all day. We just don't have an enabling way to do it. If the prior art is 100%, we have an enabling way to do it, but no motivation to get there. Okay, so whether your honors think this is just a little bit worse than the prior art, it isn't. There's no way to make buckets of this stuff to make a pharmaceutical. Ultimately, we claim a pharmaceutical. No pharmaceutical company in their right mind in 1986 would have made a pharmaceutical based on an enzymatic process that yielded less than a gram of material and could be scaled up maybe to 10 grams.
So you invented a process?
No, we were the first to enable what was needed to make this drug. And that's why we can claim the drug.
Thank you. We'll take the case under advisement.
Mr. Israelowitz, I see you tried the case. I hope you had an opportunity to visit some of Las Vegas' swell restaurants.
We'll
I practiced law there for 19 years.
Oh. All right. The Honorable Court is adjourned until tomorrow morning. It's 10:00 a.m.